This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. We have Leia and Chris in the podcast studio today, sitting getting cozy on the love couch. I certainly hope that the beer that you found in my fridge, does it taste okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And my toxic trait is I can't let anyone drink alone. So I'm drinking bourbon and you're drinking very old cooler booze, but that's okay. I'm glad that it's doing the trick because you guys are here. Maybe we're getting a little cozy, getting a little comfortable. We're going to share the love story of Leia and Chris. Pronounce your last name for me.
Beek.
Beek. Okay. Because there's an extra E and an A in there and it kind of throws me off. So, and Leia, have you always been, because your name is spelled Leia, but did you just decide I like it better Leia, or was that like you've always been Leia?
My mom had the pronunciation Leia, so just wanted to be different.
Okay, I love it. So for your entire life, you've been telling people it's actually Leia. My middle sister is Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A, and everyone has called her Alyssa entire life. But my mother intended her to be Alyssa, and her toxic trait is she has oppositional defiance disorder. So it was found out that she was named legally Alyssa, and now she goes, I'm Alyssa. So yeah, that's the convoluted story of her name. So Leia and Chris, how many years have you been together?
1997, we met in October.
Okay, 97. So
28 years.
Okay. And what was that fateful fall night in October? What was that like?
It was super fun. My now sister-in-law, Chrissy, I owned a dance studio and she was one of my teachers.
Okay.
And we were getting to know each other and she said, you should meet my boyfriend's brother.
So, okay. You should meet my boyfriend's brother. So if we're doing the family tree on this, Chrissy is your sister-in-law by marriage?
Correct.
Okay. Your brother's
wife. Chris's brother is Nate.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to have to do a picture on this. Okay.
Nate and Chris are brothers.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Chrissy was dating Nate. And
got
Chrissy
it.
And I worked together.
Got it.
So when Chrissy and I got to know each other a little bit better, she said you'd be a really good match for Chris.
Okay.
So it was a Friday night, I'm pretty sure. She said, let's go over to their apartment. So Nate and Chris lived together.
Okay.
Roommates.
In St. Cloud?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And you should meet him. So I walk into the apartment and I thought it was just going to be the four of us, just a casual hang, you know, playing some cards, getting to know each other. No, that was certainly not the case. His parents were there.
Oh my God.
Both sets of grandparents were there and all five of his siblings were there.
Okay. Okay. So this was we've preordained this marriage and you're coming in to just meet now your future family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you?
We were both 21.
Okay.
22.
You were 22?
Yeah, I think so.
22, 21, and you come walking in, and you're like, oh, I thought we were just going to casually hang out, and now I'm way underdressed for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I was wearing an Ani DiFranco t-shirt, and I'm pretty sure he was wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. So
very 1997. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you come walking in, and the whole family is there. Did they know that this was like, we're trying to get you set up with Chris?
I think so. I wasn't.
Yeah, I think that, because we had all went out to dinner at the Timber Lodge Steakhouse before
okay.
that.
Okay, Pete Timber Lodge.
They came over and we were all playing cards and stuff and we were waiting for her to arrive.
Yeah.
And it's like 2.5 hours after she was supposed to get there, all of a sudden she walks in the door and like, okay.
Yeah. So you knew, you and your whole family are all out having dinner, then you come back, whatever, and you knew that like my future wife isn't going to be walking through the store soon.
Yeah.
Proposed future wife. Okay. And what was the rest of the family like before she got there? Everyone's chirping like, okay, we're going to meet this woman? Or was it like, oh, we'll see how cool she is?
I don't know. They just didn't. I don't know if they really reacted. They were just like, oh, she's going to come over with Chrissy. I guess we'll see her.
Okay. Okay. So nobody's saying anything. The pressure's not on.
Nope.
Okay. Okay. So then she comes walking in the door 2 hours later than her intended time.
Yep.
Okay. What was her excuse?
I don't remember. I have a real hard time being on time.
As someone who was 26 minutes late getting to my own podcast today. Yeah, I can relate. Okay. So you roll in, whole family's surprise. New family's here. And are you like, what is happening? Or are you like, this is cool, more the merrier?
No, I was pretty shocked. I was expecting it to be, because Chrissy had led me to believe it was just going to be Nate and Chris.
And this is her family too then, because she's her in-law, her future in-laws, yes.
Yeah.
And were they married at this point or in a relationship or anything?
They were in a relationship.
But just not engaged, not nothing?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So she already knew them, and did she know that they were going to be there?
I don't think so. They were visiting from Texas. I think she thought that his parents were going to be at the grandparents' house.
Got it.
So I think she was a little surprised, but she already knew the whole family.
Right.
I remember walking in the door. So there's four boys that are like all a year apart. I'm like looking around the table and just thinking to myself, like, I hope that one is Chris. And that ended up being Chris.
Okay, good. That'd be a real bummer if you were like, and Chris was the one sitting next to his brother that, yeah, I thought was really cute. Okay, so luckily the man that caught your eye in the room of all of this surprise family situation, the one that you wanted, was yours, preordained. And did you, like, then what happened? You walk in, you're sitting, you're hanging out.
You know, that night we just kind of played cards, got to know each other a little bit. We didn't go on our first like date, just the two of us. You asked me out. I think we started talking on the phone pretty much every night. And then I don't know how long it was after that you asked me on a date.
It was 1 week.
It was just 1 week?
Yep.
So you were living with your brother, and what was your living situation like?
I had moved back home for a little while. I was living with my mom.
Okay.
And I was a vegetarian, and Chris didn't know that, so he asked me to Timber Lodge Steakhouse.
Where they have one menu item that's vegetarian, fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't know.
Are you lactose intolerant too, Leia?
I'm not.
Oh, good. Okay. So 1 week later, Chris says, would you like to go on a date to Timber Lodge? And you're like, cool, let's go. And so when Leia walked in the door that first night, were you like, oh, this is my future wife? Or were you like, she's 2.5 hours late? So
I didn't think she was coming. I thought she ditched me.
Ah, okay.
Didn't really think about it. You know, it's like, well, I guess she didn't really want to meet me that much.
But then when she
did come in, I didn't think right away that, you know, we're going to get married or anything.
Right.
Just like, I like the way she looks, and
yeah,
let's hang out and see if we like each other. You know?
Yeah. She seems cool enough. I'll take her to Timber Lodge.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So then you go to Timber Lodge, and was it just conversation flowing over those hot buttered buns?
Kind of. So both graduated in 94, but from different schools in St. Cloud. So Cathedral Apollo. So we kind of ran with the similar same circles. We knew people. So it was pretty easy to, you know, reminisce and talk about where we overlapped and talk about like parties that we were potentially both at the same time. But I think we met at the right time. If we would have met any earlier, I would have hated him. Like,
sure. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the hippie love child of early 90s, and he's the Marilyn Manson, Metallica, Megadeth.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I'm glad we didn't meet when I was, you know, when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And there was another time in our youth that we should have met, right? Pine Point.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how old you were when that happened. Teenager.
Yeah, 16.
So my mom and my sister and I lived in Pine Point.
And where is that?
Right off Highway 10. And your family had sold your house in St. Cloud and were building your house in Clearwater.
Yep.
So they temporarily lived in the same apartment as us. But you didn't you live with your grandma and grandpa?
Yep.
So it's only your three younger brothers.
Yeah, Nick and Mac lived with mom and dad there at the Pine Point.
And Nate too, right?
Nope, Nate was with me at grandma's house.
Okay. Well, anyway, for this short time, I remember my mom ching about this family with these young two boys that were such a pain in like throwing things out the deck. And so this many, many years later, we're talking. I'm like, holy, that was your family.
Yeah.
Lived upstairs of us for that short amount of time.
That's directly above you guys?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ah. Okay. So her in-laws became the problem family. Okay. That's the kind of stuff that I love, where you're just like, oh, put a pin in this moment because these people, you're not going to get rid of these people.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've met, you've Timber Lodged, you've reminisced, you've ran in the circles, you've figured out who's who, you've found the overlap of who knows whom. And what is the future dating situation like of you two?
Well, the next big thing we did, we went to Texas together.
Oh.
Your parents live in Texas. Mm-hmm. So was that for Thanksgiving?
Yep, it was.
So if this was October that you guys met, then the next month you were like, sure, let's pack up and head down to Texas quick. Okay. Fly your road trip.
Road trip.
Okay.
Terrible. And my little Saturn. Never do that again.
And you learn a lot about a person when you road trip across country with them. So 18 hours down to Texas. And were you like, this is the love of my life? Or were you like, I will never road trip with this person again? How did that go?
I think it went well. We got along the whole way down there. I mean, nothing
didn't
went
fight
out.
Over music or anything? No. Okay.
Oh, good. It was a good trip.
Yep.
We had a lot of fun.
How long did you just like blast down and back, or was it like we'll sightsee on the way down?
We drove down pretty quickly, but while we were in Texas, we did like Dinosaur National Park. What else did we do down there?
Went to Billy Bob's.
Oh, went to the place your parents hated going, the Grassy Knoll.
Yep.
What's Billy Bob's?
It's a giant country bar in Fort Worth.
Okay. Is it still there today?
Yep. There's like a rodeo inside of there and everything.
Okay. That
it's
sounds
a big
fun.
Big place. Yep.
So is that where they live, is outside of Fort Worth? Or is that just, you just...
Outside of Dallas, yeah. Dallas,
okay.
Fort Worth.
Well, they're back now.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They moved back to Minnesota shortly after that.
Okay. So you road trip down. How long were you down there for?
That was like 4 or 5 days.
4 or 5 days, yeah.
Okay. Spent Thanksgiving there.
Sure. And you had already met the family, so you were, you're old news at this point. You're like, yep, I'm the one that you met the first time we all met each other. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I assume they liked you, you liked them.
We all got along.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you introduce Chris to your family, Leah?
I don't remember. When did you meet my mom?
Well, I was in the summertime, I remember.
Does your mom live in the area?
At the time, was she south of the city somewhere?
Yeah, Newport.
Newport. I don't really like my mom, so.
Sure.
Since something I needed approval or was super eager.
Right. It was just like, oh, we have to go to this old lady's house and help her move something.
It was probably that. Yes.
Yeah.
Or put up cupboards. Or...
And are you an only child?
No, but I've got a younger sister. She's 5 years younger.
Okay. And do you have a relationship with her?
Not really. I mean, we talk
on occasion,
but for a couple of years.
Sure. So it was really just like you kind of got absorbed into the Beek family and you were like, here we are. I like you all and you guys seem to like me. So let's just keep on doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So had you, by the time you go down to family and Thanksgiving, had either of you said the L-bomb yet?
No. No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Not yet.
No. No, I'm pretty sure that was a while later.
Okay. So you do Thanksgiving together and then you make it through the road trip, come back to town. You do Christmas together?
God, yes. The first Christmas.
Okay, what happened?
Oh, so his family's like super casual, right? Like it's Christmas, but we're going to wear flannels, jeans, mm-hmm. whatever. But I don't know what to expect. I think it was my first time going over to his grandparents' house. So I asked him, this is a family Christmas. Is it, how dressy is it? And I don't do dresses, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, it's pretty formal. You should probably dress up a little bit. And I walk in. So I do it up, like do my hair, do the pretty dress, high heels, a whole shebang, and walk in. And like, dude, that wasn't very nice. So it was really uncomfortable all Christmas.
Because everybody else is in pajamas hanging out.
Uh-huh. Right.
But you look fantastic.
So you walk in and everyone's like, what mm-hmm. is this? And you knew, of course, when you were telling her to get all dressed up and look fancy that she's going to be way outside of left field.
Well, I just kind of meant that we don't wear like t-shirts. Or
sure. Okay.
And, so she took it a different way. And I think you were wearing a red dress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she stuck out.
Yeah. And how many people were there at this Christmas?
Yeah. 25.
Yeah, there was a bunch.
Oh, wait. Your aunts and uncles would have been there too. So there's probably closer to 40.
No, not that many. You're right, 25 maybe.
No, a lot.
Did anyone comment on, like, Leia, you look very dressy today?
I don't remember. I'm sure Uncle Mike said something smartass, but yeah. I don't remember.
My grandma said that you looked beautiful. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Oh. So then, meanwhile, is, like, your side of the family, are they, like, chattering about, like, oh, Chris, is she the one or anything, like, putting the pressure on you? Or are they just kind of like, we'll just wait and see what happens?
Not at that point, no.
Okay.
Just they knew we were together. And
sure. We'll just ease off the gas pedal and we'll just see what happens.
Yep.
Okay. So you do Christmas and you do New Year's kind of hanging out, doing the thing. Had you met friends at this point, like met each other's friend groups?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, your apartment was always just a party. So
sure.
I met Nelson and all of the guys that would come over every weekend to hang out and drink. So yeah.
Everyone just hanging out for party time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're working, you have the dance studio, so you're still doing that. And then what were you doing?
Still working at TO Plastics.
Oh, nice. Okay. So just keep plugging along, partying on the weekends.
Yep.
Work by day, party by night. Okay. And then what are you telling Chrissy at this time? Are you like, oh yeah, I'm into this guy? Or are you like, eh?
Yeah, I was pretty smitten.
Okay.
I knew pretty early on that this was probably going to be, the love of my life. So
sure.
And then we had our dance recital. And Chris and Nate were our security guards. We had t-shirts made for them that said security on the black t-shirts. Because, you know, dance moms want to get backstage. So their only job was to make sure the dance moms didn't get backstage.
Got it. Did you have to bounce anybody out?
No.
Did anyone even approach you? You just got a cool t-shirt out of the deal.
Yeah. Well, it looked pretty intimidating. I guess they didn't want to mess with me.
Even if I was like, I'm going to sneak backstage, if I saw you in a black shirt that said security, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to go get an ice cream instead. I don't need to meddle with whatever's happening.
Yeah, that was the year. Didn't Chrissy and I do a duet for you and Nate? Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, we knew. Chrissy and I both knew because we did a duet to True Companion by Mark. Can't remember the musician's name, but it's a song about like I've met the love of my life and we're going to. So both Chrissy and I danced for Nate and Chris. Ooh. Kind of making a, I guess, a declaration on stage that.
Wow.
And then after you're done, you ran up and gave each of us a rose.
Oh, yeah. Laying it on thick then. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. We were pretty romantic back then. Yeah.
So describe this dance recital. What is like, what, who are the people in the audience? It's the families of the people that you have, like that you're teaching how to dance and all of that stuff.
Yeah. The little kids.
Okay.
Three all the way through seniors in high school. So.
Okay. And so you and Chrissy was the other teacher. And so you guys were just like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to declare our love on stage for these men.
God, we were young and stupid. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
And what did you?
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I think when she runs up and gave you a rose in front of everybody.
I thought it was pretty awesome. I'm like, oh, she really does like me. So.
And you still hadn't dropped the L-bomb yet at this point?
No, by then we had. Okay. This would have been, May.
Okay. Do you remember who said it first?
I don't know.
Do you even remember when it, like, the first time it was said?
No.
Just kind of slipped out?
I would guess sometime, like, that December, like, around Christmas or something.
Probably.
Because at that point, we were pretty much together.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com or Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon. Audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark. So then how much time has passed before you guys move in together?
So when did we move in together?
It would have been like a year after we met, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you dropped the L-bombs. You did your dance recital. You gave him a rose on stage in front of everybody, doing all the things. And then you're like, okay, so now we're going to start figuring out what life is going to be like, taking the next step, moving in together. And then where did you go?
Well, when we were first married, we were lucky enough to be like apartment managers so that we could live, like they paid us to live there and take care of, you know, the units and whatnot. But we'd gotten pregnant So,
and this would have been before. So when you guys were getting ready to move in together?
Right. We got pregnant and then moved in together. We did it out of order.
Of course.
Right? As mother likes to remind us, at least one of her sons did it in the right order.
Oh.
So it doesn't matter. Anyway, get pregnant, we move in together and got married. And then Christopher was born. So we got married. I was probably 5 months along when we got married.
Okay. And then did you have a whole proposal? Was there a whole thing?
Yeah. Well, we talked. We just knew we were going to get married.
Okay.
But when you got me the ring.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty memorable and hilarious. But...
No, I bought the ring and we were already married when I got it.
Oh, were we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we just did a quick like courthouse.
Okay.
Wedding cost us under $100. We got like a Gary's Pizza special.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sausage pizza with the cheesy bread is really good. Mm-hmm. I think I want that for dinner tonight, actually. That's really good. All right. Well, you're going to have to bleep out the pizza name because we're not sponsored by them. So, yeah. Unless we'll air the episode and let them know. Yep. You earned at least $37.99 off of this episode because I am going to buy Gary's Pizza tonight.
Is it that much now?
I don't know.
Back then, it was so cheap.
Like, I mean, it's
pizza,
like
a cheese bread, a
couple of pizzas. Pot. Yeah. Couple pizzas and a cheese bread, and you know, it's good. I wonder if is it just local around here? Is it like a
as far as I know,
that started in St. Joel?
I'm gonna have to get some. It's very good. Okay, perfect. So, I had some Gary's pizza after your wedding, and off you went. Who are your witnesses? Because you do have to have witnesses.
My brother Nate and her other dance teacher Patty.
Because Chrissy was busy, otherwise it would have been Chrissy. But yeah, so I was working in the office when he gave me the ring, and he comes in. He's really kind of a funny guy once you get to know him.
Okay, a few more bad beers, and we'll see him dancing on the table. And
I'm like paying bills or something. I'm working.
And you're already married at this point because you just ran down, got courthouse marriage. Okay, so you're just.
But we're young, you know, and broke. So
The
ring came later.
Yeah,
he comes in and says, "Grab my ass." I'm like, dude, work. Like, I'm paying bills. So just do it. Just grab my ass.
And are you still pregnant at this point?
No, he was born.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Grab his butt and like the ring box is in his back pocket. And I don't know. It was funny.
And you were like, and what is this? Or did you know immediately?
I knew immediately what it was. I think your comment was, you're never going to forget it though, are you?
That was the proposal.
Yeah.
I dare you to grab my ass. Grab my ass right now. And then did you fish the ring box out of his back pocket? Okay. Mm-hmm. And put the ring on, and was it everything? Like, did you go ring shopping beforehand, or was this entirely you just bought
This was just me. I went and bought it.
Is the ring shop around still where you went shopping?
I bought it at Kohl's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And then you were just like, okay, now I've got the ring. Were you already wearing a ring, Chris, at this point?
Yeah, it wasn't this one. It was a different one, but pretty much the same thing.
Because men's rings are significantly cheaper. So, okay. So you're paying bills, minding your own business, baby at home. Here's my ring. So when little Chris was born, was that like, were your families, were they like upset that you were pregnant, or were they happy that you were pregnant, or was it just kind of a like, this is whatever, they're doing their own thing?
Well, I think they were really supportive. I mean, both our moms were in the delivery room when he was born.
Oh.
And Chris actually got to deliver our son. So that was one of the things we wrote into the birthing plan, was the first hands to touch our child, where they pulled him out and put him in my tummy. His mom was there. My mom was there. It was a really kind of a good... It's a good birthing experience, I think.
Wow. When you went into labor, did you have a tough labor, or was it just fairly easy?
I was induced. He was overbaked and he was not going to come out. Like, there was no indication that I was going to go into labor naturally, and it was a couple weeks overdue. So,
wow.
And I didn't know what to expect, right? Like, we were young parents. Mm-hmm. The concept of something was going to happen to my body that I was not going to be in control of, I didn't understand that. So, I don't know, but it was okay.
Yeah. We brought games and stuff and movies like Scrabble, and she was just going to chill, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't work.
We'll just sit and play games and then be like, oh, is he coming? All right, time for baby. Well, and now I think like a hospital stay after like postpartum is like, okay, you wake up the next day and you got to be packing your bags and get out. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when Jacob was born, I was in the hospital for like a couple of days. And now they're just like, by the time 3 years later, was born, it was like, you're still here? What are you doing here? Go home. So I really do think it's just like, pack up, out the door. We don't want to see you until your next appointment, basically. So you probably did have time for some Scrabble and some hanging out. And
say 2 nights, I'm pretty sure.
Was it? Yeah. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's born. You're living in one of the apartments, doing the maintenance and all of that stuff. Are you still doing the dance studio then at this point for a while?
No. Nope. What was I doing then? I don't even remember. Was that Kate Candy?
No, you were at Northcrest.
Oh, that's right.
So we met you still at your teaching, own studio.
I was still teaching, but I was teaching at Northcrest. Yes, I stayed at Northcrest until he was,
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you're just kind of doing the young parent thing. Were you the first of your friends to kind of get married and have babies?
No. I mean, Nate and Chrissy were, they had a child at the same time that we did.
Oh, okay.
So Christopher has a cousin that Josh was born in October and Christopher's born in January. So we were pregnant at the same time. His family being so large, it was just kind of just instant family.
So are Chris and Josh, are they close?
Yeah, I'd say.
So then when you are doing the gymnastics thing, you've got brand new nephew and son kind of at the same time. Then what's kind of your life like for the next little bit of time?
Well, the first 2 years were good.
We hung out with my brother
a lot
of their apartment and stuff. Mm-hmm. We'd play cards and stuff and the kids would play and that was pretty much what we did. Hang out with family. We'd, you know, hang out with my mom and dad.
Because they were back in Minnesota, so we were hanging out like every weekend.
And did they move back because they had, now they've got grandbabies and stuff being born, or was that kind of part of their plan anyway?
He got moved down there because he was a dispatcher for the railroad, and they moved all the dispatchers down to Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
So he, when he got was down there, then he wanted to come back, so he got a different job.
Sure.
And it was up in Duluth, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't want to be in Texas.
Right, sure. And are they still up in Duluth now, or did they move to St. Cloud?
They're in Little Falls.
Little Falls. Okay. So you're having a good couple of years. What's kind of the next, like, what's kind of married life like for Chris and Leah? What's kind of, what's got going on?
So then the next big thing was when Christopher was two, he was diagnosed with cancer. So we spent a couple of, those were two hard years. I was down in the cities living at the Ronald McDonald House. Chris was up here. He'd come down home on the weekends and Wednesday nights. So those 2 years sucked. But then by the time kindergarten started, it was, things were okay.
Yep. We got a house.
Yeah.
When he went to kindergarten. So that was, what, 2004?
Huh?
Once he got kind of a clean bill of health, we pivoted, kind of turned the page.
What kind of cancer was it?
Stage 4 high risk neuroblastoma. So
what does that mean in in regular terms, what is that?
He had 7 tumors throughout his body, and his bone marrow was 90% replaced with cancer.
Wow.
He was very sick. So at that time, I think they had about a 15% survival chance.
God.
So he went through 6 rounds of chemo, a bone marrow, it's a bone marrow transplant. Let's just call it what it is, radiation, and then a year of, what was that other clinical trial he did?
Oh,
monoclonal antibodies.
Yeah, and CH1418 or whatever.
So he was patient number one on 2 clinical trials.
Wow.
And now that is the standard of care because it increased the survival rate up to 40%.
Wow.
So it was intense.
Absolutely. So then after all of that, was it just like then he was the patient one and everything worked out and he went and then cancer, he was in remission? And then it was just kind of done?
Not really. Until kids with this type of cancer, about 50% of them relapse before they turn 18.
Mm-hmm.
And if they relapse, their chance of surviving a relapse is very low. So at least for me, it was like holding my breath for the next 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, immediately after treatment, he was scanned like every 3 months. And then eventually it's every 6 months. Eventually it's every year. And even as an adult now, he goes down once a year.
Sure. So. Wow. And that was right, I mean, fairly shortly before kindergarten. So then was he like going into kindergarten, was everything like he was ready to start kindergarten with the rest of his like kind of cohort, or did he have to wait a little bit? Or
started right away
and everything was fine?
I think because he spent so much time with adults, like he was more comfortable hanging out with adults and doctors and nurses than,
and he's an only child too, so that's
correct.
You know, I know so many parents with one, just they've got their one kid, that one kid is much easier to communicate with. You don't have to do the like, and what is your name, big man? You know, it's just like, yeah, he's like, my name's Chris. Like, yeah, hi. So, okay. So then going to school, everything's fine. You guys, what kind of settling into life now in this like post-cancer kind of lifestyle?
Yeah. I mean, you have the same job now that you did then.
We have a pretty big yard, so we got into gardening.
Huh.
We have a big garden out back and flower beds and all this stuff. So
yeah,
just loving living at home, you know.
Yeah.
Working on stuff and remodeling our house every year.
Yep, a project every year. We've finally done.
Yeah. So you kind of had your big scary thing and then got it over with, and then it was just kind of like, okay, that was that. It was a big that, but then it was kind of done. So then at what point did you decide, I'm going to open up a rage room?
Oh, that wasn't until the pandemic. Okay. So that happened in 2020. Like, I don't know if you remember. I mean, we all remember. Like, everyone is pissed off. Mm-hmm. Like, no, everyone had forgotten how to be kind. Mm-hmm. And I was just done with it. So I Googled. I didn't know they existed. Like, I didn't know it was a real concept. And I Googled rage room. I was like, holy, this is real. Like, they exist.
What would make you even, were you just like, I'm angry and I want to go break stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just over it.
And Chris, at this point, had he graduated and he was done and out of?
Yep.
He would have been, so he's 2 years older than Jacob, so he wouldn't have been in school for the pandemic at all? Or would he have been for maybe like a senior year?
Well, so he graduated high school in 2017. So he was in college in Minneapolis. He ultimately dropped out and moved back home because he hated taking classes remotely. Yeah, so I was just pissed off. I Googled Rage Room, learned it was a real thing. And then it took a couple of years to get the business, like the brick and mortar open, mm-hmm. up and running.
Just making a plan and making it happen. So then, I mean, and you've then been empty nesters for a handful of years. So was that a hard transition too, or was it?
Sucks.
Yeah.
Well, he had gone away. He went to Perpich Center for Arts down in, where is it?
Golden Valley.
Golden Valley.
Okay.
And so he left when he was
15, 16? Yeah,
for junior year.
Wow.
So he stayed down.
Why? Just because he could?
He's a pretty talented musician. So the arts high school is a residential arts high school. Ooh. So I went there too, actually, back in the day. So I went there for dance and he went there for music. So you live in the dorm and you come home on the weekends and for the summer. So.
Okay. So you kind of had a little taste of empty nesting.
Right.
Okay.
So that made it a little easier when he decided to stay down in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Because he'd already been gone all week, you know, and then he'd come home on the weekends.
Yeah.
I don't think it was easier, though. For me, it was when he moved out to Minneapolis, it was like the last time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I knew in my heart he was not going to move back home. Mm-hmm. Even then, he didn't move back home very long. He was, you know, just a couple months. But there's something really finite about, like, when they move out. And it just hit me, like, in waves of grief. Like, it's over.
Mm-hmm. I've done kind of my job, and now I call you and you like are like, what, mom? Like, mm-hmm. if you answer at all, like, it is, yeah, there's no, you don't have to answer the phone because I don't have to answer to you anymore. Like, you're not expecting me anywhere or anything. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. you just want to talk now.
But now we've gotten used to it, right? And lives right down the road, and we're going to go to dinner together. We see each other almost every weekend. Well, mm-hmm. we see each other now every weekend.
Yeah, because he comes and helps.
Yeah,
at the
rage room.
The rage room, and we help him with his house.
Yep.
So what is it that he's doing? Because he would have then come back from college down in the cities and came back. So what's Chris got going on? Little Chris.
He's working at a cabinet shop, the cabinets and stuff. So.
Yeah, nice. And what kind of musician is he?
He pretty much likes everything.
His band, I think, was like alt rock.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay. I was in middle school band and high school for a little bit, and music was a language that, like, I could speak it enough, you know, in a way to, like, I can muddle my way through some music and whatever, but I didn't have a knack for it. For the people who are just, like, they can pick up anything and they can just play and have natural rhythm and they can hear the notes and whatever, that's wild to me.
He had some really good teachers, too, like in St. Cloud. Band teacher, Tech was really good. Dan Shepard was a really good teacher. Mm-hmm. He did what is that band camp they do?
School of Rock.
Did School of Rock for a few years.
Is that affiliated with the Project 37 people?
I don't think so. I think School of Rock is, I don't want to misspeak, but
with the Worth Center?
The Worth Center, is that
sure.
right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then I think Project 37 is doing like a music venue, like an all-ages music venue or whatever too. Mm-hmm. So I think they've been around for a while too. Which is something that is amazing about Central Minnesota is there are so many wildly talented people and the ability to, like, whatever you want to do, you can kind of do that here. And for there to be places for kids to, like, oh, you want to go do extra stuff? Here, go do extra mm-hmm. stuff. So what is Chris's musical, like, what is his, like, the first thing he picked up? Like, when did you realize, like, oh, this kid is musical?
Was it the piano that we did first?
Yeah, it was piano, yeah. And he practiced at it, and he got really good at it. He sounded good, and then after that, he's like, I want to learn how to play guitar. She found Dan and signed him up, and by the time he came home that first night, he could play part of a song already, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, Chief really led that. Like, we didn't have to harass him to practice. Like, he wanted to practice.
Yep.
He wanted to mm-hmm. get better and learn. Mm-hmm.
And that makes all the difference, too, versus, like, you have to play piano or whatever. You have to learn how to play this thing. And so he's just, now, he has a band, or he had a band?
He did, yeah.
Okay.
Split up probably around the pandemic time.
Mm-hmm.
They were performing, like, in the metro area. They had two CDs come out.
Wow.
But it's just hard. You know, it's a hard industry to get in. So
yeah.
I think they were really good. I might be a little biased.
Yeah.
So now you're doing the Rage Room, and is that kind of like child number two is basically your business?
Kind of, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what kind of, was that an adjustment in the household to be like, oh, okay, now we're raising another kind of business baby together? Or was it just like, oh, yeah, it's good?
That was definitely a change.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the last couple of months, it's been just nonstop every Saturday, just completely booked. So mm-hmm. you're there all day long and you got to do stuff during the week for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go pick up toilets from people's yards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Breaking it through their gates.
Uh-huh.
But it works. I like to, you know, create the chaos, and Chris likes to restore the order, so.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. See? Balance. Mm-hmm. Yep. So what is it that you think is, like, what keeps, like, what was it that attracted you to each other from the beginning?
We're so different.
Probably. I'm kind of introverted, you know, and
sure.
she's more extroverted. And, you know, I wouldn't have, like, done half the things I did without her because she always wants to go on adventures.
So yeah.
She's like, Chris, we got to go do this. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Like tonight, being one of these adventures.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So that's how I knew that I would eventually, you know, probably marry her. Because
yeah.
I loved being around her all the time.
Yeah.
And doing all the things that we did, and it was fun.
What was the, have you ever told her, no, I'm not doing that?
Well, probably a few things.
Yeah.
Too crazy, too out of your comfort zone?
Or just not, like, something that I really want to do. Like,
sure.
They'll go see bands in the cities or whatever, or shows, and I'm like, I'm not into musicals, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I'll go to the concerts and stuff like that, but...
Don't need to get drug along to a musical to go
right.
do. Yeah. What about you? What was your, like, initial attraction? What keeps you coming back to the Chris well?
I think he keeps me grounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that realistic. And he just views the world in a... I appreciate the way he sees the world.
Mm-hmm.
And small things that I've started to see more and more, like... Just yesterday, we had a birthday party. Oh, did I tell you this? So the birthday kid gets a big canvas, blah, blah, blah. And he always wants me to lay them down because, like, very early on, one of them got, like, stuck, the paint dry to the table.
This is for birthday party at the, not the, it's the paint room.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So for, because as you were talking, I was thinking birthday party for, like, a family kid or whatever. And I was like, what do you mean canvas? Okay. So for clarity's sake, for podcast people, yes. You do the rage room, but then you also do the painting and splatter painting and all of that.
Correct.
Okay.
Two sides of the business. Rich
yes.
German splatter painting.
Yes.
Kiddos.
So the birthday party for the kids, they get like a canvas that they can kind of go to town on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The name on it and stuff. So we learned that if you leave the canvas sitting on the easel, sometimes the paint will dry and then it's hard to get off. Like it rips the canvas. So
mm-hmm.
he's trained me to lay it flat on top of a carton, right? Like, so that doesn't happen. And then I saw you yesterday, you moved it. And I was like, why are you adjusting it? Like, it's fine the way it is. And it was because it was going to dry with the bulge because I just set the canvas like on top of a box.
Uh-uh.
You put it at an angle so like the wood would,
yeah,
you know, and just that he, I'm not going to say you follow me around, but like you, when I do things, you think you take care of me in such small little ways.
Yes.
Such beautiful little ways, you know, yeah. that
mm-hmm.
I'm really thankful. And I know. That's one example, and for every one I noticed, there's probably 100 more things that you do for me that I don't.
But... I'm just the Leia tornado spinning around, and Chris is just coming up behind and being like, just tiny little adjustments to just like, this is...
That's pretty much a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of what life has been like for you guys, living in central Minnesota and just kind of spiraling, pushing him out of his comfort zone and kind of then you, Chris, going along and being like, okay... Thanks for pushing me to do that thing, and now I'm going to just come and kind of put things back together.
We've chilled out a lot since.
Yeah. I mean, after how many years of, we've been together 28 years.
Maybe you've kind of done the adventures and all
yeah.
this stuff, and like, now I just want to garden, or now we work at the Rage Room together, you know, don't really go a lot of places anymore, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting old. And I think finding enjoyment in the simpler things, right? Like, really enjoying planting together and planting.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers and, you know, we did honeybees for a while and
mm-hmm.
tapped our maple tree for a few years. It doesn't have to be flashy and sexy. It can be simple. And
yeah. So give me one moment that you can remember being like, ooh, this was definitely a relationship lesson we needed to learn. That was like a tough moment, but came out better on the other side. And give me a like something that you were like, you don't know that I noticed this or love this about you. I want to. A high and a like, oh, we really learned something and this was a moment of adjustment.
I got mine, like the moment that your mom kind of had the come to Jesus talk with me. Do you remember that one?
No.
So we were young when we were married, and like, I wouldn't say we were fighting all the time, but you have your fights, like you're mm-hmm. figuring shit out.
Well, your brain's not fully developed, or you're, you know, you're living in, yeah. young and first serious relationship.
Right. And we were visiting your parents in Duluth. And I remember your mom sitting me down at the dining room table. And she took both of my hands in her hands. And she looked at me. She's like, Leah, I promise you, there are going to be days that you hate my son. There are going to be days where you're going to want him to sleep on the couch. You might even leave the house and go sleep in a hotel. But I promise you, if you get through those days, you will fall more in love with him than you are right now. And she said, it will happen over and over and over again. And it's true. Like, we've gotten through some painful shit, but like when you come out the other side, I just didn't know I could love them as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So
I know one thing that we went through, or that really affected me, was when our son had cancer, and mm-hmm. she was down in the cities all the time, and I was up here. I had to work, you know, to keep my health insurance. That was a very difficult time, you know, being alone in your apartment by yourself and missing her so much. Mm-hmm. But I think in the end, when because we'd get together on the weekends, and I'd take her out because she'd always just be sitting at the McDonald's house or whatever, mm-hmm. and take her out to eat, you know, down in the cities. And I think that was really important to get her away from her mom. Would come and watch Chief, and then mm-hmm. we'd go out and have a date night. And I know that was difficult, but I looked forward to those weekends a lot. Mm-hmm.
But even that was, right. I didn't understand why you would show up and like want to leave right away.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, you haven't seen your son and you're like, but you need to get away. Like he was trying to do something sweet and nice and kind. And also he understood that our marriage needed to stay strong so that we could stay strong for our son. And I know that now, but at the time, all I could really see was, you know, you should be at the hospital hanging out with your kid.
Right.
Not going on a date night. But it is ultimately, I think, what got us through date nights.
Well, and it is in situations like that. I mean, your relationship, it's exactly what little Chris has done now, is he has grown, he's lived, and now he's moved out and he's doing his own thing. And if your husband wouldn't have been putting in the time at that point to be keeping the relationship together, you know, then if everything is centered around your kid, you know, then it's like you get to this point where now you're empty nesters and you're like,
mm-hmm.
I've lost touch with you, you know? Yeah. He came down to see you and then, okay, let's reconnect quick. And now the parents can go back in and we can parent together. Yeah. Okay.
What was the second part? The high.
What was the moment that you can, when you think back on your 28 years together, that you're like, that was a like, wow, that was a happy, whatever. That was a bright light in a moment of, or a funny little memory or whatever.
I know for me, like when we'd go to Mexico or something like that, and like stay at a resort, and that was just a lot of fun, and just being with her, like those are really cool memories.
Yeah, the vacations.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The Breaking Bad vacation.
Yeah, the Breaking Bad vacation.
What's the Breaking Bad vacation?
So we went to
Albuquerque. You cooked a bunch of meth. Yeah.
Went to Albuquerque and just visited all the spots, you know, that filmed.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Because I love that show.
Rocklahoma, driving to Oklahoma so that Chris Turk could see all his favorite bands. Yeah. Adventures.
Did you named the, we're going on this road trip is called Rocklahoma? Or is
it's
that
actually a big music festival?
Okay. 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 So that, and then the Breaking Bad vacation was, we're not cooking a bunch of meth, we're going to do. So these are things, the theme is for a reason. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to Canada every year, a trip on the 4th of July. 3 years? 4 years? 3 years.
3 years.
Something like 4 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
So just keeping things on the calendar, keeping future things moving, and just continuing to reconnect with each other and keep plugging away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, before we sign off, one thing that you love about each other, and then we'll let you guys go.
I love that she's energetic and she's willing to try anything. Like, she puts her mind to something, she's going to do it.
Yes.
Like, when I'm going to start this rage room, I don't care what you're going to do. You can help me, but I'm going to do it. And I love that. I love that tenacity that she has. Like, when she gets something in her mind, that's what she's going to do. She's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I love that you support me no matter what.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes because you do some wild things.
But it's fun.
It's adventure.
Sometimes, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here. You guys have just such a, it's not every relationship that you can just see that there is a connection, that you can just see that there's a kindness. And I think that's, it's not all like sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's about like having someone that you are just kind to, and you can see that you two are just kind to each other. That emanates off of you and off of your relationship and your stories and the way that you talk about each other. So thank you for being kind of that, like being that example of like, it doesn't have to be all, you know, passion and, you know, this like constant swings. It's just be kind and love each other. You guys definitely exemplify that. So thank you for coming on the podcast and for telling your love story.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast
on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com. And we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.